Hey, this is Dirk Nowitzki, and you listen to the Mavs Step Back podcast.
Yes, the Mavericks, all about action. Don't do no acting, no Samuel Jackson. Dirk get the ball, you know that it's magic. Post move deadly, yeah, get tragic. Luke with the ball, yeah, get nasty. He'll drop 30, don't gotta ask him.
Luka with the step back 30. Oh, yeah!
Boy, Chris Stapps, looking like Duncan Nash in the gap. They just want a ring, want to fill the gap. On your team head, I ain't talking hats. Dang, I relax, still at a champ. Defense still coming with the caliber. Flow, the Mavs are best on the flow.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Mavs Step Back podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and Dallas Basketball on SI colleague, Matt Galatson. And tonight, we have a special guest for you guys. He's a reporter for NBC News. It's Ben Collins. You can find him at one underscore with, I guess that's one underscore, isn't it, Ben?
No, it's two. It's two underscores. That's right. I did that to make it really hard for me to fade at parties, and this was a joke like 5 years ago before I ever thought Twitter would be important in my life. And now it's like a running gag. Now, like, people look up the other one underscore, and she's a very nice lady, but she posts a lot of pornography, so it's like a really... it's a very good running gag in my life that I'm never going to get rid of.
Well, like I said, it's one underscore in letters and then two underscores on Twitter. But, Ben, I know, especially in an election year, it's probably absolutely nuts doing what you do. And we know you're a huge Dallas Mavericks fan, and you keep up with the team and everything. So it's probably nice for you to get away from that for a little bit. But, you know, just with the recent news here, you know, they just signed Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. He was bought out by the Hornets, and he had his first practice today. And I don't know if he'll play tomorrow or not. I would guess that he would, since he had his first practice. Willie Cauley-Stein, he played after his first, you know, practice or walkthrough or whatever with the Mavs. But what do you feel about this signing? I mean, you feel good about it? How you think it helps them, you know, going forward with their playoff push?
I love the signing. I think he provides defensive energy that we don't have as a team. And, you know, in the last two games, when the defense collapses in the third quarter, which is what's been happening, there's nobody to put in, right? You can put in Boban and just slow the game down and mess it up and muck the game up, but there's nobody to put in to, like, really stop wings that are taking advantage of us, especially fours that are taking advantage of us. And that appears to be what the point of this is. You know, Rick said that he's going to play a lot of 4 and 5, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because he's not a huge dude. He's like 6'6", 6'7", I think. Like, but he's long.
Like a Houston Rockets really approach.
Yeah, exactly. Like a P.J. Tucker kind of thing. So, he's long. He's extremely active. He can still jump like crazy. I like the idea of his flyer. And you know what? I mean, this guy has been on a really mismanaged team for 8 years. So maybe nobody sat him down and was like, dude, you shoot weird. Stop it. Nobody's ever done this. So it's completely conceivable to me that that's a possibility. I don't know. Where do you guys sit on this? Because it's kind of controversial. You know, we cut a guy who we all love and we're rooting for. We're rooting for Ryan Brokoff. But this, I feel like the upshot here is pretty tremendous if we can get this guy to be even basically capable offensively, right?
Yeah, I've got some thoughts on it. Matt, I'm going to let you go ahead and give yours, and then I'll chime in after you. But we did kind of – the last episode, you know, we talked about the potential fit if it did happen. So now that it has happened, Matt, what do you think about it?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I was, like, super excited about it. But, you know, at the same time, it's an instant upgrade over, you know, not only Brokoff, but Justin Jackson as well. And nobody's ever said anything bad about Michael Kidd-Gilchrist defensively, at least, you know, as far as the backup units go, he's already going to be the best defender.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll be a little bit of an upgrade. They're getting it at, you know, kind of a bargain deal, and we'll see what happens. I just, we were talking about this the other day, and, you know, Ben, I don't know if you feel the same way or not, but at the last minute, like kind of after they had decided, you know, or after he had gone, you know, become available at 4 o'clock yesterday, we were like, well, maybe should we wait for Mo Harkless?
Yeah.
But You know, it's done now, and it'll at least be interesting to see. I don't know how much I like the idea of the Houston Rockets thing, but you know, we'll see where it goes. I'm optimistic that he'll be an upgrade. So like, you know, it's.
Well, I mean, you gotta understand. I mean, the way Rick Carlisle is, I mean, it might just be. I don't expect him to start a ton of games, but you know, it could be a situational thing. Like, I could see times where Willie Cauley-Stein playing at center and KP at the four might work better depending on who you're playing, or you know, maybe you want to put KP at the five and Gilchrist at the four and Finney-Smith at the three. You know, there's so many different things you can do. And, you know, if they end up playing the Rockets, maybe you do want to put MKG at the five, you know, to match up with them. So, you know, Rick Carlisle, he's a wizard. He knows how to make things work that way. I'm not concerned at all as far as fit. They definitely, at this point in the season and how they've played here, you know, these last 30, 32 games. So they're 16-16 over their last 32. You know, they've had some really rough breaks with injuries with Porzingis and Luka, who, you know, he'll be coming back tomorrow against the Sacramento Kings. That'll be really exciting. And then we'll get to see him in the All-Star game this weekend. So all that's really good stuff. But, yeah, this team needs an injection of energy. And it needs more defensive intensity. And I know there's a lot of people talking about MKG's shot, and I feel like every single person on Mavs Twitter has posted that same picture of his shot motion. And I'm just thinking like, well, I mean, he's not going to be shooting a lot of threes with this team. He's going to be, you know, doing the gritty work like Finney Smith does. Just minus 3-point shooting. And he's not bad around the rim. From what I've seen, he's a good screener, which will be great. He's a good rebounder. And, I mean, like Ben said, this is the first time he's ever been outside of Charlotte. And he even said it in his introductory press conference today or interview after practice that he was happy to be a part of a winning culture. And I think that's going to be huge for him. He's only 26 years old. He had a couple of good seasons in Charlotte, and the Mavs are historically good with reclamation projects. So I think it's going to be big. I mean, I don't expect him to be a superstar or anything, but I think he's going to be a key piece going down the stretch.
Yeah, I feel the same way about the general premise that he doesn't have to be everything. You know, he doesn't have to be a 3-and-D guy. It doesn't have to be Robert Covington. He can just be a D guy. That's fine. Like, that works. Yeah, teams need this generally, especially when we're about to hit a stretch in the schedule where we play, I think, the next 10 out of 11 teams or something are under 500 or around 500.
Yes.
We have to win these games. Like, this is a really useful thing, unless we want to be the 8th seed or something. We have to win these games, and we're going to get bored. You know, but the second time we play the Timberwolves in 2 weeks, we're going to get super bored. So if MKG can come in and set the tone in the second quarter or something like that, him or Cauley-Stein or somebody, you know, in the way that JJ used to, that's all we need. We don't need him to be, you know, a miraculous superstar. We need him to be very good. We just need him to be a defensive tone setter. So when we get a little lackadaisical in the second and third quarter, which we have been, we can survive the game. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. And I think he'll be that too. And like you said, if the way the Mavs have been playing, and again, you know, Luka's missed the last 7 games. He missed 5 earlier in the season when he sprained his ankle the first time, and then KP's missed a handful of games because of knee soreness. But, you know, it could be just, you know, a scheduling thing and bad luck with injuries, but it's starting to turn around, it looks like, with Luka coming back, and, you know, they're now going to have MKG in the mix, and Willie Cauley-Stein really looks like he's getting his footing, even though I don't know why he didn't play more last night, but Rick's going to Rick sometimes. But yeah, I mean, here's my thing. This is going to be our next topic here. It's basically what is our biggest concern with the Mavs going into this last part of the season. And I think something catastrophic would have to happen for this team to miss the playoffs. So I'm not worried about that. I think they're definitely going to make the playoffs. But, you know, I'm looking at the standings right now. And, like I said, they're 500 over their last 32. Memphis is just absolutely on fire. I think they've won, like, 12 or 13 out of their last 16 games. And they are 4.5 games behind the Mavs for the 7th seed. And they play the Mavs two more times. So, they're on the Mavs' tail. But then you look on the other side of it, the flip side of it, the Mavs are only, let's see, 1.5 games out of the 5th seed and, let's see, 3.5 out of having home court advantage, which we probably wouldn't want anyway at this point. But so that my biggest concern is the Grizz potentially passing the Mavs, and then you end up playing the Lakers in the first round.
That's true. But Memphis has the tough schedule from here on out of any team in the league. If you look that up, they are playing, like, they play the West best directly after the All-Star break, and then it doesn't get any better. I'm worried about Memphis in the sense that if they pass us, then we are in deep trouble. you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
If they are passing us, then they are a very good basketball team. We don't want to play them anyway. So, I'm totally okay with where we are right now. We were going to hit this lull. I didn't anticipate us being this far over 500 by the All-Star break anyway. The fact that we could go 16-16 over the last 32 games and still be where we are is kind of incredible. It shows how well we've been at the start of the year and the leap that Luka made. So, look, we're kind of playing with house money here. I'm not that worried about it. I think, like, Matt, you have to agree with that, right? That's not that crazy.
Yeah, no, I agree. 16-16, considering the injuries they've had, I think is good enough. I mean, it just gets a little amplified because, you know, of the home struggles, I think, and that's really frustrating for fans. But I totally agree with you. And to be honest with you, even if they got passed by the Grizzlies, I think I want to play the Lakers more than I want to play the Clippers.
Well, so, yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, that's not my biggest concern.
The Clippers are a kryptonite in every way. They have things. They have the things that we cannot stop. We cannot stop Kawhi Leonard, can't stop Paul George, and they have a very good. They do a very good job of trapping Luka and making him look like frenzied and hurried. So, I'd never want to play Clippers if possible. I think we can get out of one or two rounds in these playoffs as long as we do not play the Clippers. That's how I genuinely feel about this team.
Yeah, I'm looking at, you know, the top five. Like, if the playoffs started today, the Mavs would be playing the Nuggets. And, I mean, I don't know if they would win that series. It would be a big upset if they did. But, I mean, I feel a whole lot better about them playing Denver than I do either one of the LA teams, and especially the Clippers. But, you know, the Lakers, I could see, you know, something happening there. Denver, sure. Clippers, no. Definitely don't want to see them. Utah, they frustrate me to no end, but, you know, they've still played them close two games in this last game without Luka. And then you have Houston, which is probably who I'd be the most optimistic about playing in the first round. So, I don't know. There's so much parity in the West that even, like Matt, like you said, even if the Grizzlies pass the Mavs, I mean, it's not the end of the world because they could stay where they're at or even move up and end up playing the Clippers. So, I don't know what you do there.
And, you know, my biggest concern is it's more about the home struggles, because whatever's happening, it appears that it's not something they can fix overnight.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think it's like a chicken or the egg situation. I think that the crowd is dead because they're not winning at home, and they're not winning at home because the crowd is dead. I can't figure out what's going to break first here. And Luka helps with that. Like, when Luka comes back, you know, people are excited to be there. It's a little bit, you know, it's an event, you know? It's an event to see Luka. But it's still bad. Like, people should be excited to be at the basketball game anyway. So, I think that there are dual pronged things there. Like there is an issue with the home crowd, I think, not really getting lit up in a way that other teams do. But we are also just losing there. Like we're losing leads there. We are coming out like really sluggishly in first quarters at home. We have a lot of problems at home that don't make any sense to me whatsoever. Like outside of even just crowd noise. So
yeah,
that's something that I hope they figure out in the second half. I don't even know what to say. Like, what do you say to your team? Like, everyone pay attention. We're at home, please. Like, I don't even know what the talk is from Carlisle on that, you know?
Look, Tim Hardaway Jr. after that last game, he said it was embarrassing. And I believe he even said that, that Rick Carlisle really bit into him at halftime of that one. Sounded like it was a breaking point. You know, we'll see how they do coming out in this next game, because if I remember correctly, I don't think they got out to a good start in that last Sacramento game they played at home. So we'll see if it makes a difference. But it definitely made a difference in the second half of that game last night. You know, even though they ended up losing, they almost came all the way back from a, 20-plus point deficit, and they showed a whole lot more pride in that second half. So I'm with Ben. I think it's definitely a chicken and egg kind of situation. I mean, I don't know. I kind of made the joke a few weeks ago that right around the time that the Dallas Cowboys season ended, that's when the Mavs started being, like, really inconsistent. And they started, they'd lose a couple of games. They'd lose two and win one, and, it'd go back and forth. And so I'm almost wondering if the people that are just kind of casual Mavs fans are just not really as into it, because ever since Cowboys season ended, and it's like they focus on the Mavs. It's like, well, what was all the hype over? But that's just me thinking that. I'm sure, like you said, once Luka comes back and starts lighting the place on fire, I think that'll change things.
Yeah, and I think part of it too is, like, we have become so inured to how weird and crazy good KP and Luka are. Like, it's regular to us that KP pulls up from the logo. This guy who's 7'3" or whatever,
yeah,
just pulls up the logo and, like, jacks threes with 17 seconds on the shot clock. Like, that would be the greatest thing that ever happened to the New York Knicks, and it's just something that happens like a Tuesday from average, right? So, like, we're spoiled a little bit. We're getting really used to Luka as a guy who drops, 39-8 or whatever on a nightly basis. So I get it. I understand the novelty is wearing off, but let's step up, guys. We have, a generational dude, and when he comes back, it should be super loud there. It should be super loud there tomorrow night.
Yeah, and it's so crazy to me, because the last handful of games, this last stretch, like we said, they've been playing 500 ball. And if you had told me before this season, as optimistic as I tend to be, if you had told me that KP and Luka were going to miss a handful of games and this team would still be, playing 500 ball without them, and they'd be 10 games over 500, about to head into the All-Star break, I wouldn't have thought that was possible. I would have thought they'd have to have near perfect health with everybody, and firing on all cylinders to be where they're at right now. So I mean, it's still a great situation, and like Ben mentioned a few minutes ago, coming out of the All-Star break, you've got the Magic, you've got the Hawks again, you've got the Timberwolves, the struggling Spurs. And then you play Miami. So, I mean, that's five games coming out of the All-Star break where they could really make up some ground and solidify.
Yeah, and then after that, it's Minnesota. After that, it's Minnesota, Chicago, New Orleans, and Memphis.
Yeah. So
those are all 500 or stuff. Like, we should win 9 out of 10 games here, I think.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we need energy. Like, we need to be a little bit less bored than we've been in the last couple of games.
Yes. So, I mean, potentially by the end of the first week of March, they could be, really solid in the West standings, depending on how much, ground they can make up. And, I mean, look, KP seems to be healthy now. Luka, after missing seven games, and he'll have this lengthy All-Star break, knock on wood, nothing happens tomorrow night, but he should be you know, good to go for the rest of the season. He should be fresh. And I don't know, Matt, what do you see the rest of this season, you know, in this last, I think it's 27 games after tomorrow night?
Well, I mean, they look a little bit like they need rest. So I think the All-Star break is going to kind of refresh and revitalize them a little bit. You know, guys will go on vacation. Guys will kind of step away and be able to kind of recharge their batteries. And maybe, you know, maybe things will be different. But the thing, you know, what concerns me is I think we talked about this in the last pod, Dalton. Like, they've lost six games to teams that have no more than 31 wins this year. I mean, sorry, they have more than 30 losses this year. So that's a big concern of mine, and that's why I'm still not over my concerns heading out of the All-Star break against those bad teams, because they haven't really proven to me that they can beat bad teams on a consistent basis. And until they do that, I'm going to be a little bit more pessimistic.
Well, look, I've preached this for a few weeks now, and let me go back and just run you through this, because it's been so long that we tend to forget about it. But I keep saying the last time the Mavs were healthy for an extended period of time, that was that part in the season where from mid-November through the first week of December, they won 10 out of 11 games. You know, it started with a win over Toronto, and then they beat the Spurs, Golden State, Cleveland. That was the back-to-back, you know, almost 50-point back-to-back wins. And then they went into Houston and won, and, you know, they beat the Suns, the Lakers, the Pelicans, the Timberwolves, and the Pelicans again. So that was a stretch where they beat a lot of bad teams mixed with a couple of good teams in there. But that's the thing. They were healthy, and they were clicking. And then all of a sudden, that Miami game comes up on December 14th. Luka tweaks his ankle, and then that's where the mediocre play started.
Right. But what I'm saying is they haven't proven that they can stay healthy consistently.
Yeah.
This season.
And you can't control
until they
that,
can so. Do that, then it's going to be hard for them to get over the hump of being, you know, a 500 basketball team. Now, if they just stay a 500 basketball team for the rest of the year until the playoffs, they're probably going to make it anyway. So that's not my concern. My concern is playoff seeding and if they can stay healthy. And so what I'm going to be looking for after the All-Star break is, you know, these guys getting this week off or 9 days or however long it is, and then getting their legs back under them and getting healthy and then getting focused for the final stretch. And if they can do that, I'm confident.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say this is a really good problem to have. Like, the problem that we can only seem to beat the Lakers and the Bucks is a nice problem. I like that. Especially because, like, a few years ago, a lot of people make the analogy between this team and that Mavericks team, that, like, the pre-Rondo Mavericks team with Jameer Nelson that had that historically great offense. But that team's problem, that's why they made the Rondo trade, is they couldn't beat good teams. They were absolutely slaughtering the point differential against bad teams was insane. We beat the Knicks by 51 game, and it made us look like world leaders, but we were actually not that good. And then we traded for Rondo and everything got worse. But the opposite thing is happening here. We have a team that are gamers, basically, who really get up and are ready to play against really good teams. And it sucks that they don't want to play against the Timberwolves in Minnesota in March or something, but, like, it is part of the deal, and hopefully they'll learn to get through it. And that's also part of the deal of dealing with when your two best players are 20 and 24. Like, you have to get them through the boredom, and you have to get them motivated in these situations. The team's young. Hopefully they can do it. Hopefully they can keep them just mentally fresh. And they also don't even know what our rotation is for the playoffs yet. So we have a lot to learn, and we have a lot. We have, once they get healthy, we have a lot to figure out about what our best five going to the end of the season. Like, to me, you go five out, you start Seth Curry at the two, and you run KP at the five. But we haven't seen a lot of that because they haven't been healthy enough to do that. So
I agree with that.
Again, we have a lot to learn in the next 2 months.
Yeah, and I mean, if you, there's a lot of things to factor in too. You look at the tail end of the schedule. There's a lot of things you have to factor in, like teams who might say the last two, 3 weeks of the season, they might know that, you know, they're out of the playoff race and they want to start tanking, you know. you can stack up a couple extra wins there. You know, teams that, like the Bucks, they're on pace to win, I don't even know anymore. It's like I don't think they're on pace to beat the Warriors from a few years ago, but they're on pace to win 70 games.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they might choose to, you know, rest their guys the last couple of games. I think, let's see, the Mavs play the Bucks again. It's towards the end of the season. Okay, so the very end of March. So, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you can factor in there. But, you know, just moving on to that, we've talked big picture. Now let's, you know, zoom it back in here for the game against the Kings tomorrow. I mean, the last time they played the Kings, I remember, I vaguely remember there being an offensive rebound off of a missed free throw that just killed the Mavs comeback attempt in that game. And then they went on the road and they beat Sacramento in a really impressive road performance. So we've seen it all year. They're inconsistent at home, but they're, you know, world beaters on the road. And now they'll have, you know, one more home game here before the All-Star break to kind of, you know, show us something. You know, go 11 games over 500 with Luka coming back healthy, and you're introducing MKG to things there too. So overall, Ben, and then I'll move to you, Matt. What's your expectations for tomorrow night and Luka's return?
I would assume Luka's going to be on something like a minutes limit, right? I don't think he's going to play 40 minutes or something like that.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I really highly doubt that. So, you know, I think just getting him back in the lineup and getting him back in the lineup without Powell and seeing how everything sort of filters down. I don't even know who's going to start at the four. It could be Kleba. It could be everybody shifted up again. I'm assuming because the Kings play pretty big, it'll be Kleba. We don't know. So, there's a lot up in the air for this. We don't know if MKG is going to play. I just hope that he gives them a little bit of energy, and that's, you know, over the last few games, people often talk in the two games after Luka got hurt twice this year about how this team has better spacing, has better pace without Luka on the floor, and then everything really falls apart in that third or fourth game with Luka out. It'll just be good for people to remember what he does in third quarters and what he does at end of games to stabilize this team and give them sort of a lift. I really miss it. Like, you miss his sort of shot creation when there's nothing there. It's really, when they need a bucket, there's nobody on the team except for him who can get one, and it'll be so nice to see it again. It'll just be really, really helpful to see a guy who can get a really tough bucket basically out of nothing. That's what we need, and that hopefully we'll get it tomorrow night.
Yeah, even if he's on a minute restriction, I think even if he plays, you know, 20, 25 minutes, something like that, I think it keeps you from overplaying some of these other guys. Because you saw it the other night against Utah. They played as hard as they possibly could to come back from that deficit. But then, you know, they just kind of fizzled out. You know, DeLon Wright, Jalen Brunson, those guys, they might have moments of brilliance. But, you know, for extended periods of time, they get exploited a little bit. And I think that'll be good. You know, we won't have to extend their minutes as much. And, you know, maybe it'll work out to where it'll be a really balanced game. And, you know, they can come out with a win before the All-Star break. Matt?
Yeah, I expect Luka to get a triple-double. I expect the Mavs to win by 20. And what else do I expect?
We got to get our guy Kirk Henderson to not watch this game, by the way. It seems like the last handful of games that he's like he's acknowledged that he's watching it. It's just, it's been bad. And then when he leaves, last night he said he was going to bed and the Mavs almost pulled off a comeback, and then, you know, he turned the TV back on, and then that's when it happened. But anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Matt.
Anyway, so I expect a big game from Luka. I expect a big win. I expect the crowd to be re-energized. And I expect less minutes from J.J. Barea and Courtney Lee, which I think will help a lot. And I'm hoping to see, you know, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist get out there and make Harrison Barnes shoot 2 of 14 from the field. So I think they're going to have some momentum heading into the All-Star break, and I think that's going to be big. You know, winning one game probably doesn't do that much, but it puts a good taste in your mouth heading into the All-Star break, and, you know, it'll get people excited for, you know, watching Luka in the All-Star game. And
yeah, and look, let's be honest here. I mean, the players themselves, they definitely need this All-Star break. The Mavs have, you know, they need to get healthy again, get re-energized and everything. But I think Mavs fans in general, like the fan base, needs a little bit of a break too. I was telling Matt before we got on here that, you know, after tomorrow's game, it'll be 9 days before the Mavs play again. And that seems like forever, but it also seems kind of needed right now. Like, it'll be nice for everybody to, you know, stop arguing about the Mavs not wanting Andre Drummond or, you know, something crazy like that. And we'll all just get to focus on Luka, you know, throwing oops to LeBron James in the All-Star game. I think it'll be great.
Yeah, this team has certainly had the vibe of like a group of people that's been on a bender for like the last 3 weeks. So I'm really excited for them to get some rest or something, just like a vacation. It really feels like that, doesn't it? It feels like they're just like dragging them along to the next place.
Yes.
So look, man, I've never seen a team need an All-Star break more than this, so I'm pretty excited for them.
Yeah. And look, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have fun watching the Mavs and Kings tomorrow night. Really hope Matt's prediction of a 20-point win and a Luka triple-double comes to fruition. If it doesn't, we'll blame him for jinxing it. But
absolutely.
Matt, Ben, we really appreciate you coming on, and we'll definitely have to do it again sometime, man. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was a lot of fun, guys.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Ben.
All right. See ya.
Again, that was Ben Collins. He's a reporter for NBC News, taking a much-needed break from all that stuff to talk about his favorite team, the Dallas Mavericks, and we hope you enjoyed it. And that's going to do it for another episode of the Mavs Step Back podcast. Guys, we can't thank you enough for coming in every week and listening to us. Thank you for liking, rating, and subscribing to our podcast on all your favorite platforms. Continue to do that. Get your friends to do that. It really helps us out. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you want to. Everyone we get on there is, I mean, it just really helps us out to have that reputation. I mean, we've come so far in just a year's time, and we can't thank you enough. Definitely go check out our YouTube page as well. Like we've been saying all season, as soon as we get to 1,000 subs on there, one of those lucky 1,000 subscribers will win 2 tickets to a Mavs game of their choice, Mavs home game of their choice this season. And if we have to, I mean, hey, we'll roll over into the playoffs and even next season. But as soon as we get to that 1,000 sub mark, that's when we'll give out those tickets to one lucky winner. So be sure to do that. Guys, hope you enjoy the Kings game tomorrow. Hope you enjoy NBA All-Star Weekend. We'll be back next week to recap All-Star Weekend with Luka and look forward to the last 27 games of the season as the Mavs continue their playoff push. Y'all have a good one. Feeling like Pop, I'm by the shack of the spot. I got the stew on the lock, yeah. Never really cared about your opinions. That is why I can't be stopped, yeah. Rappers in the booth know they be faking. I'm in the game, so I might get a flagrant. Can't be with y'all, man, I swear y'all too basic. Don't shock the world, man, I swear I'm a tail. Feelings on my back, swear I'm in my bag. Stuck up in my past, man, I hate the rap. Man, we love the brag. I don't do no talking, I don't like the chat. Throw me to the bag. Got me some boom, man, they smoke like a chimney. Come from a place where they sound like they witness. I'm in the booth and I speak like I'm sickly. Kill me a beat, a producer, a witness. Up in my city, the city.